Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Pride and humility are like different sides of the same coin. A person might claim pride or might claim humility depending upon how it is perceived it will make them appear to others. For instance, in my life, I have heard the line, I am poor and proud of it, and never have heard, I am humbled by my poverty. I have to admit, I don't quite understand the logic in that first statement. If given the option to be proud of one's financial status, I suppose one would be better off to have pride and be rich rather than be proud and be poor. Another claim made to support humility that I have heard from time to time are statements like, in my humble opinion, or I humbly ask for. I have never heard people make statements like, in their humble opinion, or they humbly ask for. People make statements claiming humility on a regular basis by people from all walks of life, and yet, what does the Bible say about proclaiming our own humility? On top of these preliminary issues, there is the difference between the humility that is described in the Bible and false humility, which is like theater improvisation. There is a saying, if it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, and walks like a duck, it's a duck. Imagine if animals could dress up and play theater, where maybe a retriever breed a dog dressed to look like a duck, learned how to quack like a duck, and walk like a duck. That would bring challenges to that duck saying. Thankfully, animals are not that skilled. But could a person look humble, talk as if they are humble, and walk as if they are humble, when in fact they are not? People are better actors than they give themselves credit for, and we need to be aware there are people we will meet who look, talk, and walk as if they are humble, when in fact they are not. These people have a false humility, one that is turned on when needed. Paul linked false humility with people trying to separate us from our salvation. He told the Colossians to let no person trick them into losing their salvation through false humility. And then, get this, using religious-style trickery that is linked to the person's ego that might not even overtly contradict faith, but nudges at it, including things like worshiping of angels that give a visible performance that others could construe as humility, like public worship, displays of humility, noticeably sacrificing oneself for others, and even denying oneself simple pleasures of life, like a good meal. Let's read what Paul wrote in Colossians 2, starting in verse 16. Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the bodies of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility, and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment ministered, and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of this world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. There are a lot of people fascinated with angels. Just today I saw on Facebook a video purporting to show angels descending through sunlight and clouds while proclaiming a prophetic message in verses from the Bible. Angels do have an important role to play in service to God, but they are not God as God is God. Like Lucifer, who thought he would replace God, angels are created beings, unlike Lucifer and the demons who rebelled against God to overthrow God, the angels continue to loyally serve our Creator. The Bible shows angels are not to be worshipped. Revelation 22, verse 8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. From Paul's letter to the Colossians, we can see angel worship was a problem in the city of Colossae or even within the local church. Angel worship is linked to false humility because it was as if the people were choosing to worship more, not less than what was expected, such as thinking, I'm such a good, devoted Christian. I also... In the case of the church at Colossae and the city itself, it was worshiping angels. From your own experiences, how could you fill in that blank? Christians should desire to be profitable servants, to use the language of a parable. But does that mean we should add to or take away from what is in the Bible? Revelation concludes with an interesting thought. Let's read that in Revelation 22, verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Imagine that. Revelation ends with a curse for adding to and taking away, and Paul's letter to the Colossians warned about angel worship, which is not mentioned in the Bible, and then linked that to false humility. We need to be careful when we hear ideas suggesting we add to or take away from what is in the Bible. False humility would be simple to spot if only people would say, I am humble and proud of it. But you probably haven't heard that either. Having genuine biblical humility is essential for our salvation. So let's see what the Bible says about humility. Proverbs tells us that humility is linked to an awesome respect for God, showing that our life is better as a result, and includes elements such as wanting to live honorably rather than just acquiring wealth, seeing all people as equal before God, and avoiding what is evil. Proverbs 22, verse 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. After having warned the Colossians about false humility, Paul did not tell them to avoid humility, but through humbleness of mind and many other qualities, act as a Christian. Let's read exactly what Paul wrote in Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Humility does not mean God cannot use us for his purposes, nor does it mean we question God's will as if we are somehow not worthy. When Moses was approached by God to lead the children out of Egypt, Moses had a hard time accepting that, not seeing that he had the ability to do the will of God. Exodus 3, verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, and thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this will be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Even though Moses might have appeared humble, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses by how he acted. Exodus 4, verse 14. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. Sometimes doubt masquerades as humility, and doubt doubles as false humility. Humility is not coupled with doubt. Humility needs to be coupled with confidence that God will do as he says. When God told Solomon that after he would build the temple, if God had displeasure with Israel, humility would be needed and coupled with prayer, seeking God, and turning from wickedness to restore favor with God. Humility is doing what God expects us to do. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. Humility is not being self-righteous. People who have humility do not trust in themselves that they are righteous while despising others. There is no humility in that. Humility comes from realizing that we are in need of the mercy of God. Luke 18, verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote unto his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. God is quite able to extend mercy to people. He resists the proud and extends mercy to the humble. It is through humility and not pride that we resist the devil and draw near to God. It is by doing what God expects of us that we draw near to God and are able to have humility. James 4, verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Pride is seen as the opposite of humility. And Paul described a proud person to Timothy as knowing nothing. People who are proud typically don't think of themselves as knowing nothing and tend to think they know everything. Being proud and knowing nothing is just another way of saying somebody thinks they are rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, not realizing they are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. These proud people like to debate over words and use words to divide people. They also go to the extreme of using physical wealth as a manifestation of a blessing from God. Focusing on money takes us all down a rabbit hole that has nothing to do with humility. 1 Timothy 6, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Peter advised the younger to respect those who are older, and then advised everyone, including those who are older, to be clothed with humility. Humility does not have a pecking order and exists where all yield to each other. Peter then linked humility with resisting the devil through faith, by being sober and vigilant. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called unto us his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The Philippians were reminded of the need to be humble, esteeming others more than the self, while also considering the needs of everyone, not just the self. Philippians 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in the lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. The Ephesians were told that humility is needed in part to maintain the unity of the Spirit. Humility unites and pride divides. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. In seeking wisdom, we find wisdom through humility, not pride. In seeking righteousness, we find righteousness through humility, not pride. Proverbs 11, verse 1. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. We are advised to live with humility and to avoid those who have pride. Proverbs 16, verse 17. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. If we seek to preserve our life and have honor, we will use the pathway of humility. Pride will lead to destruction. Proverbs 18, verse 9. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The rich man's wealth is a strong city, and as an high wall in his own conceit. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Humility is something best ascribed to you by others, not yourself, and understands there is no value in making claims of future accomplishments. Proverbs 27, verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. David, a man after God's own heart, understood the need for humility. He understood God has respect for people who have humility, while keeping the proud at a distance. Psalm 138, verse 1. I will praise thee with my whole heart, before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Isaiah writes of God's connection to the humble, and then contrasts the humble to the wicked, showing God will focus his attention to the humble and contrite, knowing that those who are humble and contrite are those who will be brought to salvation in God's time. The wicked are then compared to a troubled sea with strong waves. Isaiah 57, verse 14. And shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth, for the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and smote him. I hid me, and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways, and I will heal him. I will lead him also, and restore comforts unto him, and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Knowing we are to be humble and not wicked, we can look to one identifying sign of the wicked given to us by Jesus. He told the Pharisees and Sadducees that a wicked and adulterous generation seeks a sign. People who are humble don't need a sign from God, because they do what God expects through faith. Matthew 16, verse 1. The Pharisees, also with the Sadducees, came, and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, Ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. Being lowly of heart is not what you do, but your attitude while doing it. Jesus told others he was meek and lowly in heart. Imagine that. Our Savior told us that he was meek and lowly in heart while challenging the religious elite. Jesus was not proud that he was here to save the world or challenge the religious elite. By being like Jesus, by being meek and lowly of heart, we find rest for our souls. Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal himself. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus warned about religious hypocrisy, where religious leaders like to elevate their authority, and in so doing act as hypocrites. He warned that those who exalt themselves will be abased, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Matthew 23, verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to the disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works. For they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Paul wrote a longer letter to the Romans, and in one section of that letter told them not to be concerned with lofty ideals and people who espouse those ideas, but to be focused on people who live with humility, to choose good and reject evil. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be with dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent of spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Jesus linked humility and not pride as the indicator of greatness in the kingdom of God. The disciples earnestly wanted to know who would be the greatest in the kingdom of God, probably trying to determine who among them would be greatest. Jesus instead used a little child as a symbol of humility, who came to Jesus when Jesus called for him. Humility allows each of us to respond to God's calling. Matthew 18, verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And who shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. It is through humility we become strong, and God can and will use the human condition to teach us about humility. If Paul had his thorn in the flesh to keep him humble, we all can have our thorn in the flesh to keep us humble. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. It is through humility we yield ourselves to God, to his judgments and thoughts, instead of relying on our own judgment and thought. And this begins by keeping the commandments and doing those things which are pleasing in his sight. 1 John 3, verse 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandments. Humility means we do not judge others, even if they need help. Paul told the Galatians, when spiritually helping another person, to not be proud, but in the spirit of meekness to help them, lest temptations also come to them. It is when we think we are something, when we are nothing, that we deceive ourselves. Humility allows each of us to have a realistic viewpoint of ourselves. Through humility, we do not see ourselves as rich, as having become wealthy and having need of nothing, not realizing we are rich, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Pride deceives us. Humility is honest with us. Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. When we live by humility and are led by the Holy Spirit, we know that only good will result, knowing that all things will work together for good. Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God expects us to have humility, but not to be humble and proud of it. Pride gives way to deception, where we can even deceive ourselves. It is through humility we maintain an honest opinion of who we are. We must be humble, knowing that sometimes pride can masquerade as humility, being false humility. Humility will bring us closer to God and keep us on the path of salvation, knowing that God keeps the humble close to him. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.